Galatians again, Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 19 through 25. I had someone make an interesting comment to me this week, and it's one of those things that you should probably never say to anyone ever. But I officiated a wedding on Tuesday, and I was talking with the mother of the bride, and her first words to me was, "You look like a 12-year-old with a beard." So, how do you respond to that? You don't say thank you, but that's not a compliment. I don't know, but that's why I have a beard, so I just don't look like a 12-year-old, I guess. So, that's been a highlight of the week. In our text today, the title is Products Examined. And it's carrying along the theme of last week where we're talking about walking in the Spirit, being obedient to the Spirit. And last week, we talked about the daily battle, the wrestling between the flesh and the Spirit. And Paul mentions that in Scripture, and it's a real battle between the flesh and the Spirit. We looked at Galatians 5:17 last week, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." So there's just an emphasis, Paul emphasizes that there is a battle between your flesh and the Spirit. In our study today, Paul is going to list some specific works of the flesh. He's just going to nail them down, lay it out there. These are works of the flesh. And he is also going to list the fruit of the Spirit. And he's going to talk about those. He is going to discuss the products of obeying the flesh versus the products of living in the Spirit. So we have two lists today. It's terms, it's defining. Might feel like school for a minute, but I want to explain the terms, and there's a lot of them, but we'll go through them quickly. Let's look at our text, Galatians 5:19 through 25. Let's go ahead and read that. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that we can confidently go to it and study it. Thank you for all that you reveal to us in your word. I pray that you will just help us now to put our preferences aside and to fully trust what your word says and to be willing to obey what your word says. Please speak to us today. I pray that we will be sensitive and obedient to your leading. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's jump right into it. Let's take a look at the products of the flesh. Verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Let's define those terms. We get the basic understanding, but let's paint a bigger picture, a deeper picture here. The works of the flesh. Works is the business, the undertaking, the deeds, or the product. So the product of the flesh. What is the flesh? The flesh is human nature apart from divine influence. So the flesh is talking about our human nature, our fleshly desires. So the products or the product of our fleshly desires, of our fleshly efforts, are manifest. What's manifest? Manifest is plainly recognized, shining, and apparent. So what's being said here simply is the products of living apart from the leading of the Holy Spirit are clearly seen. And just in case you were wondering, Paul is going to give us a list. And it's a pretty detailed list, pretty specific, and it's some sensitive subjects, so I'll be careful with how I define some of these terms that were listed. But here are some specific works of the flesh. And Paul first deals with sexual morality. I think you caught that as we read through that. The first one that he lists is adultery. We understand adultery has to do with unfaithfulness in marriage. The next word that he lists, the next work of the flesh, is fornication. The Greek word for fornication is porneia. Does that sound familiar? That's where we get our word pornography. So fornication has to do with all illicit sexual activity. Fornication defined simply. Uncleanness. Uncleanness is impurity or lustful living. And then lasciviousness is unbridled lust. So Paul says, here's the works of the flesh. They're manifest. They are made known. They're as shining lights. They're easy to decipher. And he's giving us a list. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Next, he goes into religious works of the flesh, having to do with man-made religion or products of the flesh. As much as the previously listed are, these works are works of the flesh. And going to verse number 20, idolatry is the first one. Idolatry we understand generally as worshiping false god, worshiping man-made images. Idolatry is worshiping anything above God or putting anything in front of God. And that is clearly a work of the flesh. Then he goes into witchcraft. And witchcraft is an interesting word. I actually have a lot to say about this one. The Greek word, the original word for that is pharmakeia. Pharmacy. Where we get our word pharmacy is what is translated witchcraft here. Pharmakeia has to do with pharmacy, medication, magic, sorcery, or witchcraft. And I don't know how deeply you've studied that word, but it's very interesting. I'm just going to give you a summary of it. Pharmakeia, the word for witchcraft, was originally used to define medicines in general, which is what we use pharmacy now for. That's where you go to get your prescriptions, the pharmacy. Over time, the term was used to describe mood and mind-altering drugs. At religious ceremonies, these mind-altering drugs would be used to induce supposed communications with deities. So it makes your mind a hallucinogen, right? That's what it's talking about. Pharmakeia thereby came to be closely related with witchcraft and magic. So there you go. When you see that word, witchcraft, there's the history, the idea, the definition behind it. So those are the religious works of the flesh, idolatry, which covers so much of our man-made religion, and then he deals with witchcraft. Paul moves to some of the works of the flesh that we deal with in human relationships. So this is the relational stuff. This is the stuff probably that realistically we struggle with most as far as a work of the flesh. He starts out with, in verse number 20, hatred. Hatred is hostility or hateful attitudes. Then he goes to variance. Variance is quarreling. It is strife. Then he goes to emulations. Emulations is an envious and contentious rivalry that has to do with jealousy. Then he goes to wrath. Wrath is boiling anger, outburst of anger. It's expressions of hostility. And we spent a lot of time on Wednesday nights talking about some of these, but we've been dealing with wrath specifically lately. Then he goes to strife. Strife is contention. It's perpetual contradictions. It's looking for arguments. It's looking for quarrels. Do you see how these are works of the flesh? Do you see how it's obvious that these are works of the flesh? Then Paul goes to seditions. Seditions defined as disunion, division, or dissension. Heresies. Heresies is dissensions arising from diversity of opinions. I'm pausing there on purpose. Because think about how that one gets us. It's a work of the flesh, but how often do we have dissensions or do we have divisions because of diversity of opinions? We're talking about opinions. And how often do we let that creep into our life? It's a work of the flesh. And it causes trouble. It's not based on fact. It's based on opinions. I understand confrontation based on facts. And I understand there's confrontation based on opinions. But we got to realize when it's opinions and when it's fact. Verse 21, envyings. Envying is jealousy, and it's jealousy with ill will. That's a big one. That you can find out more about that in the story of Cain and Abel. We know how that worked out. Then he goes on to murders. Murders means murder. Drunkenness. Drunkenness is intoxication. And then he goes to revelings. Revelings is crude behavior. And it was prominent back in this time with the Galatians. And it's prominent now. I read some crazy facts and stories about what was going on back then, and it make you drop your jaw. But then you think about to now, and it's the same stuff that's going on. So crude behavior, revelings. And then at the end of verse 21, or the middle of verse 21, he says, and such like. So I want you to notice that this is not an all-inclusive list, but it should help you get the idea of what the works of the flesh are. And then verse 21 goes on to say, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that should get your attention there. Paul says, I have made you aware of this before, and I am warning you against it again. They which do such things. And we need to define some words in there so that we understand what's going on. Because all of us would be in trouble if we lost our salvation every time we got mad at someone. Right? And that's listed in the works of the flesh, right? And Paul says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's get the meaning of which do. Important word to help us understand what's being said. Which do indicates an ongoing durative action. It is referring to the continual, habitual practice of such things. So it's not like a one-time deal where you get jealous and it's over for you. We all make mistakes. We all struggle. The idea here is dwelling in continual, habitual practice of such things. These are the characteristics of the works of the flesh. If these characteristics are what you are known by, are what people know you by, are what your life is, if it is dictated or if it represents all these works of the flesh, if that's what defines you, Paul says, watch out. Pay attention. Check yourself. There's an issue. Because if these are what define you, Paul says, such shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So a very cautious warning there. Verse 21, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. To live a lifestyle of the flesh is evidence that you have not committed to Christ. It's a evidence. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, if you wouldn't mind turning there. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 But Paul gives more insight into it. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Here's some beautiful words that come next. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Such were some of you. Those things used to run our lives, to rule our lives. We were slaves in bondage to sin, dead in our trespasses and sins. But through the righteousness of Christ, He saved us, He forgave us, He sanctified us, He declared us righteous. Such were, past tense, some of you. Through Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven, we are declared righteous. That's kind of slightly, before the part where Jesus saved us from that stuff, slightly depressing to think about, kind of a downer, if you will, the works of the flesh. Paul changes gears here and he gets to the good stuff, the positive stuff, but he still challenges us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. So what Paul is saying is those are the works of the flesh. Then he throws out that contrasting conjunction there. I feel so smart when I say that. That's why I say it a lot. He throws out the word, but. He's contrasting what we were in the flesh with who we are in Jesus Christ. How the Holy Spirit affects us and the fruit that He places in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the present possession of every believer, bears fruit in us and through us. Notice the fruit that is present in the life of the believer. And this is what should be dominating our personalities. This is what should come to people's minds when they think about a Christian or someone that claims the name of Christ. Starts out with love. Love is affection. Love is benevolence. We understand what it is very clearly. Understanding it isn't the problem. Ephesians 5:2 tells us to walk in love. Consider the theme of love throughout the New Testament. Love is so important, and love is a fruit that the Holy Spirit, the present possession of the believer, gives to us and works through us and shines through us. Besides love, there is joy. Joy is gladness. Joy is cheerfulness. And it's not based on circumstances. There can be joy based on circumstances, but when your circumstances change, your joy often goes out the window if you're basing your joy on circumstances. We have joy in the Holy Spirit, and it's constant and it's continual, and it should be shining out of our lives. Then there's peace. This peace is not based on circumstances either, except for the circumstance that we're at peace with God through Jesus Christ. But in that we have peace. And peace is tranquility that comes from a saving relationship with Christ. Then there's long suffering. Long suffering is patience, calm willingness to accept situations that are irritating or painful. Let's skip that one. But isn't it neat how the Holy Spirit can help us to display long suffering? You hopefully experience it on a regular basis with the Holy Spirit shining through you and being obedient to Him. But those situations when it makes no sense for you not to go off on someone and give them a little smack, it's so nice when you get that calm from the Holy Spirit, the ability to be long-suffering. Then there's gentleness, tender concern for others. And I can think of specific people in this church who this just shines off of them. This tender concern for others. We can put on a front like we care for someone, but it's so obvious when that tender concern is coming from the Holy Spirit, which it should be. Then there is goodness. Goodness is uprightness of heart and life. It's known by sweetness and active kindness. There's a good one. Active kindness. Then faith. Faith is reliance upon Christ. Go to verse 23, and Paul mentions meekness. Meekness is a humble and gentle attitude. It contrasts pride greatly. And then temperance. Temperance is self-control, restraining passions and appetites. That's temperance. All of these are placed in us by the fruit of the or by the Holy Spirit. Fruit that is given and fruit that should be evident in our lives. I want you to wrap your mind around this thought. However, I've learned a lot this week. I'll tell you that much. My studies, if they don't help you, they sure helped me this week just to understand stuff. I was challenged by God's Word this week. And what I want to get across, what I want to make clear, is that the fruit of the Spirit is not a list that we must conjure up in our own strength. It's fruit of the Spirit. It originates from the Holy Spirit that is given to us. It's not things that we add to our lives or that we make this chart when we're trying to master them in our own flesh. I've got to love. And we try to conjure up this forced love instead of letting the Holy Spirit live through us. I used to think that I've got to work on this. Like this week I'm going to master whatever, joy or peace, or I'm going to spend my whole week mastering. When I am putting in all the effort to try to master the fruit of the Spirit, where is the strength coming from? Which robs glory from God, which is not really a fruit of the Spirit. It's something I've conjured up. And at the end of the day, it can lead to pride. Like, look at my golden star stickers that I have by all of my fruits of the Spirit. And it can become an idol to us. And remember, idolatry is a work of the flesh. The key is, when we are obedient to the Spirit, these characteristics will be shining out of our lives. The Holy Spirit has given them to us. It's us being sensitive and obedient to His leading. And these are wonderful traits to be characterized. Don't get me wrong, it would help the world out a little bit if everybody would work on their love. but it needs to come from the Holy Spirit, not conjured up. Verse 23, against such there is no law. There's not a law against the fruits of the Spirit. So if we're sensitive and we're obeying Him, we're being obedient to the Spirit, we're trusting that, okay, You are leading me, You are guiding me, my faith is in God, I am trusting You to lead me, I am just going to obey. We don't have to worry about breaking the commandments or violating the law. When we are led by the Holy Spirit, we are not under the law. And He is going to lead us to do what is right anyways. Ephesians, I think it'll be one or two pages to your right. Ephesians 5, 1 through 9 kind of gives a summary on the verses from Galatians that we're looking at. Ephesians 5, 1 through 9. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, or of Christ and of God. So that's three times that we've read that thought. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness. There's a past tense, what we used to be. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Isn't that a huge contrast from the works of the flesh? The works of the flesh bring sin. Obeying the Holy Spirit, walking in the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit is in all goodness and rightness and truth. And you can see why there is no law against such, because it is right. The Holy Spirit is guiding us, giving us this fruit. Our responsibility is to be sensitive and obedient to His leading. Walking in the Spirit is, as we read in Ephesians 5, 9, goodness, rightness, or righteousness, and truth, and against such there is no law. The works of the flesh lead to confusion and every evil work. And we can read about that in James. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 18, if you want to look it up later. The daily battle between the flesh and the Spirit is real. And we can see why Paul stresses the importance of walking in the Spirit. Verse number 24 in Galatians. Galatians 5. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. They that are Christ's. Those who belong to Jesus Christ. Think about the beauty of that statement. We could stop there and be done for the day with how amazing it is that we can be Christ's, that Christ would shed His blood to purchase us, people that do not deserve it. He paid for our sins with His blood. The alternative of being Christ's is to be dead in our trespasses and sins. How beautiful is it that Christ would purchase us with His own blood? He would shed His perfect sinless blood for us. And we belong to Christ by faith in Him and His perfect saving work. Let's look at verse 24 again. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. When we came to Christ, our flesh and its affections and lusts were crucified. What does crucified mean? To impale, to stake, to fortify with driven stakes. Pretty graphic picture of what happened when we came to Christ. When we trusted in Christ for salvation, the absolute power of flesh was broken. Before Christ, we were slaves to sin. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Check out Ephesians 2 if you have questions about that. Through Christ, the flesh was crucified and no longer has the complete power it once had. This is encouraging news when we consider the conflict with the flesh and the spirit. There's that battle. Paul mentions that daily battle between the flesh and the spirit. But the flesh no longer has the complete power to dominate. There is victory in the Lord. He freed us from the bondage, from the chains of sin when He saved us. So sin no longer should be dominating our lives. The fruit of the Spirit should be dominating our lives. Let's quickly go to Romans chapter 6. I just want to give you more commentary, more of what God's Word says on this subject, instead of me just babbling about my thoughts and my ideas. Romans 6:11 through 14. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Did you catch in verse 13? Yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, or yield ye not your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. What is yielding? Giving yourselves over to, giving the reins of your life to God. And that takes faith. That takes trust in God. You're saying, God, here I am, I'm yielding my life to you. The Holy Spirit, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to lead me. And then what's our responsibility? Trust God that He's going to lead us and be sensitive and obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because it's potential for us to ignore and rebel and disobey. We need to yield our members to God. Stay in Romans, but I want to go back to Galatians chapter 5:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, flip back to Romans chapter 8. Verses 10 through 16. And if Christ... Sorry, I'll let you turn there. I'm getting fast here. I've been getting complaints from children's church that they don't have enough time to get all their stuff done, so I need to talk longer. So I think all the kids signed that note. But I said you all would probably give a different letter of recommendation. So I guess we got to work on that. Romans 8, verse number 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He hath raised up Christ from the, or He that raised Christ up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, Brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. At the moment of salvation, we are given the Spirit. And Paul says, if we live in the Spirit, if we have trusted in Christ, we do live in the Spirit. The Spirit gives us confirmation that we are alive in Christ. Life in the Spirit is not an occasional influence, but an abiding state wherein we are continually alive. The Holy Spirit is in us, and we have life through the Spirit. So, if we live in the Spirit, which we do, the end of verse 25, let us also walk in the Spirit. The word walk defined is to walk in line, to keep in rank and file, to march in battle order. So what's the picture? The Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit guides us. We follow. We obey. Verse number 16 of Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does the flesh produce? The flesh produces sin. What does the Spirit produce? The Spirit produces fruit. So that's the idea. That's the big idea. Practically real life, how do I walk in the Spirit? Great question. Right? What does it look like to actually walk in the Spirit? It's simple idea. He leads, we obey. Complete surrender to His will, being sensitive and obedient to His leading. And I've alluded to this before, that it's not systematically and robotically following a list of man-made rules. That's idolatry. That can be fleshly, that can be sinful, and as I said, that results in pride. We are not robots, we are not clones. We are not trying to conjure up the fruit of the Spirit in our own strength and in our own abilities. We are each particular members of the body of Christ with different functions and different roles. We are to each be individual and sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's all of us. Everyone that is alive in Christ, or in Christ, that is walking in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is in, should be sensitive and obedient to the Holy Spirit. If we obey the Holy Spirit, we will be doing what's right anyways. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. The fruit of the Spirit is a product of the Holy Spirit in your life. And if we can understand that, and if we can let go of all the works that we try to conjure up to be what God wants us to be, if we can let that go and trust in God and trust that the Holy Spirit is going to lead us, and by faith be sensitive and obedient to His word, we will be walking in the Spirit and we will be producing that fruit. And where will all the glory go back to? To God. Because we'll be trusting in Him and He'll be the one producing the fruit. So are you sensitive and are you obedient to the leading of the Spirit? Question of the day. It's great idea, right? Yes, I want to be. Are you willing to, in faith, submit to His leading and obey? Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for this passage of Scripture. I thank you for the way that you worked on my heart this week, that you worked on me. We can be so prone to trying to fight sin in our own strength, and we can ignore the leading of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'll just help us to be sensitive to you, that we'll be obedient to your leading, and that we'll put our full confidence and our trust in you. Please help us this week, Father. In your name I pray. Amen.